24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page 1? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at LadyZhe. Now, my next guest is a genius. And my next guest is a phenomenal man who has impacted the culture in so many ways. And I could go down a long list of things, all the awards he's won, but I want to pick two top things. He is the co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam and also founder of the movement Genius is Common. Welcome, Bruce George. How are you today?
I'm blessed, Z. Thanks for having me. And I want to thank your listeners for listening in. I want to thank the good Lord for blessing us to be here before us. And thank you for having me on your show.
Okay. So thank you. You're welcome. Thank you so much for making the time, because I know you are so busy with the
Common movement.
So I want to start with a question about Deaf Poetry Jam. What inspired you to start that, and how did you get connected with HBO?
Oh, okay. Well, it started, let me give you the abridged version. I was born in Harlem, raised in the Bronx, been living in Brooklyn for God knows how long. I'm a New Yorker to the umpteenth percentile. Mm-hmm. My work is my ministry. I'm a social activist. So everything I do is out of activism. And in terms of my politics, I'm a socialist. From each according to one's need, to each according to one's ability. So I'm all about the collective. It's not about the I, it's about the we, it's not about the individual, it's about the collective. So that's my politic. And it's important that your audience gets a feel of that so they can understand exactly why I do what I do. You know,
right,
my work
right,
being
right.
that ministry, right?
Right.
And so that poetry jam came about when I was renting out a brownstone in an opulent section of Brooklyn called Park Slope. And it was a beautiful evening. The beautiful zephyrs of the wind had my shutters open and the wind was just coming through. And I'm up here watching Def Comedy Jam, eating a burrito, looking at my iguana in her tank. She sends transition, right? Beautiful uh-huh. evening. And then I received an epiphany, Def Comedy Jam, Def Poetry Jam. And at the time, I was a spoken word artist, heavily on the circuit. And I made my bones, won many, many multiple contests. I've been published God knows how many times as a writer and a poet. So I made my bones, right? And
right.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait a minute, Def Comedy Jam, Def Poetry Jam, it makes perfect sense for there to be a poetry version to the comedy version. But I couldn't do anything with that because I didn't know Danny Simmons. I didn't know Russ. I just bookmarked it. And you see, one thing about, just like in comedy, just like in just in general, the whole poetry scene is very incestuous. So through the grapevine, I heard that Danny Simmons, who is also a poet and a writer, he's an artist as well, was holding at his old home in Brooklyn, I think it was on Gates Avenue, where he was holding poetry slash art showings and gatherings. So I said, well, let me roll up through there and let him know what my epiphany was, that there should be a deaf poetry jam version to that. Mind you, at the time, I was a part of the Black Panther Collective, which is an offshoot of the Panther Party,
mm-hmm.
right? I was with them
right.
for a short spell. I started out as a member, as a supporter, and then I became a member, but it was for a short spell. And that's a whole nother conversation. But anyway, so I roll up in there with black bandana, an army hat with a bunch of cats up there. We look like we're about to stick up the joint. Anyway, mm-hmm. so I go in there, see Danny Simmons, and introduce myself, and I tell him, you know, listen, you know, you guys did a great job with that comedy jam. There should be a poetry version. And he was very open, and he kind of like pushed me off to his son. This was like before, like 1990-something.
Okay.
You know, 1998 or something like that. And
so
he pushed me off to his son, and then I went back to him, and I was like, yo, his son's name is Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons. So he pushed me up to his son and I went back to Danny and then, you know, and then Danny was like, okay, you know what? Let's have a meeting at Def Jam Universal. And so we had a meeting and Bob Sumner, who is the founder of Def Comedy Jam, was there. Not Russell's, Bob Sumner was there.
Mm-hmm.
Danny
mm-hmm.
Simmons was there and I was there. And then Danny turned around at me and said, okay, it's your meeting. And I said to him, you guys did a great job with creating Def Comedy Jam. I said, it makes perfect sense for there to be a poetry version.
Right.
Bob Sumner was all in, Danny was all in, and he was like, yo, this is dope. So at that point, Danny charged me with writing up a proposal. And then not only was I able to connect at that point with Deborah Pointer, who is the co-founder of the Poetry Jam, when I was sitting in my brownstone, in one meeting, Deborah Pointer wrote up a 36-page proposal from one meeting. So not only did I have the proposal done very quickly, I had it done ahead of time. So we had the proposal done and I met Danny at Russell Simmons's old Fat Farm Rush Communications office
okay.
in the Fashion District of New York, right?
Okay,
that's
okay.
where Kamara is. When Kamara was there with Fat Farm, you know, and they would have all the meetings out there.
Right.
So anyway,
right.
so I had a meeting with Danny Simmons, and then that's the first time I was introduced to Russell. So I'm seeing this dude with the bald head, you know, eggshell Adidas behind his desk, legs moving 1,000 miles per second, like he's all like busy and nervous because they call him Rush because he's always in a rush of
mm-hmm,
Rush Communications.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
Danny
right,
and
right.
I tag team him. Danny introduces me to Russell. Danny sits on one side, I sit on another side. We were tag teaming him and I was telling him, yo, Russell, you might want to jump on board with this spoken word movement because it's a bubbling underground movement. And then he was like, yeah, whatever. And he was like, what is poetry? A bunch of niggas on the corner with dreadlocks? I can't make no money from that. And then Danny and I was tag teaming him and saying, no, it's not like that. You know, we was breaking it down. And then he was like, basically caught our bluff. He was like, nah, you know, I get it. You know, he said what he loves about poetry is the fact that unlike rap, you can't hide behind any music because there's no music. It's just the poetry.
Right.
So you have to, whatever you write has to make sense.
Yeah, you have to be a master,
you have to be real with
wordsmith.
With words, because you can't hide behind a beat.
No,
so
you
that's
can't.
What he said he appreciated about. He said that's what he appreciated about poetry and spoken word.
Right.
So from there,
you definitely can't hide behind a beat.
You can't hide behind a beat. So, you know, so then he said, so from there, Russell had to like get on the phone, speak to his people at Def Jam,
okay,
right?
And the record label. Okay.
People, and he had to speak to people because that's their brand.
Right.
So he had to get permission from them to do that. And then he also had to reach out to HBO at the time. Richard Pepler was the president at HBO.
Okay.
So he had to reach out to Richard Pepler to let him know what this new epiphany was.
Mm-hmm.
So to make a long story short, I brought the concept to Danny. Danny brought it to Russell. Russell brought it to HBO. We wound up getting a 4-season pilot, which turned into a 6-season show. And we wound up getting a Peabody Award for 6 seasons on HBO and a Tony Award for the Broadway version. I was the town executive at HBO and executive consultant to the Broadway show, and the rest of the city's history. So that's how that planned out.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, God is great. God is great.
Man, what a blessing. Like, you were just chilling in peace.
Yeah.
Looking at
in
your
peace.
Iguana.
And then,
with the,
and then
with
one
the
thing
windows
left
the open, and you was watching Def Comedy Jam, and you're like, and so you just, wow, that's amazing. So
it is a blessing from God. Mm-hmm.
Right. So have you been this bold all your life?
I've always been bold. That's a good question. I've always been a very bold person. I come out of gang culture. You and I had that sidebar conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young, violent, wild from, you know, growing up in New York, you know.
Right.
You know, a lot of us are very brash, you know, and not having a father in our lives, that really makes things set it off for us. A lot of people, you know, they're just coming to realize that the significance of having a father,
right,
you know, in your life. And by the father not being there, that's why a lot of the jail cells and the graves are full, because they didn't have that male presence. And actually, I wrote a little poem that said, "Fatherless sons cries on the inside, dies on the inside, with lump in throat, chokes on abandonment, then throws up gang signs." Right?
Wow.
So, yeah, put that double entendre in there at the end.
Dang.
You see what I'm saying? So,
you got balls. Yeah. I'm going to give you some finger snaps right now. I got to give
you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I mean, you just that was powerful. I felt that. That was just like heart.
I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? And so, we join gangs because we don't have that father figure in our lives, right?
Oh, man.
And so we kind of band up. We band up and we get into the gang situation. And
right.
I would be remiss if I didn't
looking
tell your
that
audience that I'm the founder.
That father figure.
And I would be remiss if I didn't tell your audience that I'm the founder of the Bandana Republic, which is a literary anthology by gang members and their affiliates. Jim Brown wrote the foreword to it and said it's one of the most best well-researched books he's ever read.
Wow.
I was the founder and managing editor of it. The late Luis Reyes Rivera was the co-founder and editor. It's never been done before. Poetry, prose, short stories and quotes and interviews from gang members, gang leaders, and those affiliated. We have other celebrities that's in the book. The late Ruby Dee is in it. The late Oscar Brown Jr., the jazz great out of Chicago, is in it. Malik Yoba is in it. Layla Steinberg, who's Tupac's manager, is in it. The rap group Dead Prez is in it. And the list goes on and on. The Last Poets are in it. And every clique, crew, set, and gang or street tribe you can imagine is in it. You know, Crips, Bloods, Latin Kings, Northerners, Southerners, Mexican Mafia affiliates. It was smuggled into the security housing unit at Pelican Bay, and the Mexican Mafia blessed it. So it was easy for me to do because I come out of gang culture. Been in several of them. You know, and I was very wild, very brazen. And this was a way of me giving back to society and saying, you know what, let me turn my past around a little bit, karma-wise, and get them to go into writing about literature and writing about what it is that they do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what, I want to delve a little bit deeper into that. That you said about, you know, your past and how you took your experience in gang culture and turned it around. How did you not let your past paralyze you from moving forward into your future?
Okay, that's a good question. Actually, what saved my life was getting kicked out of Samuel Gompers High School, which is an all-boys school in the South Bronx, right? talk about testosterone. It's testosterone on steroids.
Right.
For boys' school, nothing but blacks and Puerto Ricans, and we were wilding. And it looked like a prison. They since closed it down not too long ago. It looked like a prison. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got kicked out of there from inciting a riot between the blacks and Puerto Ricans, whatever. You know, and I wound up going to job court. That was the best thing that happened to me. Granted, while I was at job court, I didn't even realize job court was a home. While I was at job court, they sent me there as opposed to going to jail. And while I was there, I wound up fighting, selling drugs, setting fires, punching windows out. I was wild. I had to do something with all that energy. Mm-hmm. But somebody believed in me by the name of Tiny. He believed in my academics because I was academically outstanding, praise God. So mm-hmm. instead of him kicking me out, I wound up graduating from there. And then I went from there to a Niagara University opportunity program at Niagara University, wound up graduating from there, and the rest, as they say, is history. So that really helped turn me around. When I was at Job Corps, I became a 5% at Job Corps, right? You know, of the gods and the 5%, you know, nation of gods and earths.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the 5%, and I dated one in college. So you already know. Yeah, I already know
what
the 5% is about. And actually, one of the most famous 5%ers is Erykah Badu. She's a 5%er.
I didn't even know that.
Her song On and On is full of 5%er symbolism.
Science. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what's up. And so I was a 5%er, and while I was at Job Corps, I clicked up with the 5% nation. Mm-hmm. You know, my name was Kamal Dia, Light mm-hmm. and Brightness, the completeness in Light and Brightness, right? So, you know, I wound up getting my Book of Life, the whole nine. And mm-hmm. then I was rising up among the ranks. So I clicked up with them. And then from there, when I left there, I became a Sunni Muslim.
Okay.
Right. And then from being a Sunni Muslim, then, you know, that's what just put me on the right track.
Right.
You know, starting from being a 5%er, then from there to a Sunni Muslim. And that's what got me on that religious tip, that spiritual tip.
Right.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Because all of those are denominations within Islam.
Denominations, absolutely.
Yes, within Islam,
absolutely.
I'm very familiar with that. So, you know, everybody is a genius, but if you judge
absolutely.
A fish by its ability to climb a tree, it would live its whole life believing that it is stupid. So I wanted to share that quote because you are a quoteologist, and I wanted to know who said that.
Okay, well, that was Einstein, and I'm a master quoteologist. I've been in the quote business for over 40 years, right? I've been into quotes for over 40 years. I wasn't a master quoteologist for 40 years, uh-huh. but I've been in the quote business for over 40 years.
Right.
And you know, a quoteologist is this, and a master quoteologist is this. You have people that admire quotes. You have people that write quotes. You have people that study quotes, and you have people that master quotes. So I master quotes. You know, I have a following all around the world just for my quotes alone. I'm quoted every nanosecond around the world in every language.
Wow.
Thousands of my own quotes, thousands of my own quotes, and the quotes I have the memory of is staggering. Above is staggering. And it's not because of who I am, it's because of whose I am. There's mm-hmm. no such thing as extraordinary people. It's ordinary people that do things extraordinarily well.
Right.
So we're going to give God his props.
Right.
As
right.
I always do. I always give God the praise because to God be the glory.
Right.
So with that said, I have a following all around the world of my quotes, and I'm quoted every nanosecond of every single day around the world.
So this is what I want to know. What mm-hmm. made you start Genius is Common? What is Genius is Common? What is it all about?
Okay. The Genius is Common movement actually got started from one of my quotes. It was downloaded into my spirit in the latter part of 2014, and it was just an epiphany. And it got started like this. I would go around the country, and I would ask the youth, when you hear the word genius, what image comes to mind? And they would always say Einstein or a light bulb or Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. And every now and then, Z, I would get a Jordan. And that troubled me. And I said, you know what? Let me write a quote about that. And the quote is, notwithstanding Einstein, genius is common. And then that turned into the slogan, Genius is Common, which turned into an entire movement. As we speak, we have a presence in all 50 states, 13 countries with 17 ambassadors and growing. We have a presence in Jamaica, Barbados, Ghana, Kenya, Dubai, Norway, Nigeria, the UK, all over the place. You know, and we're a celebrity magnet. We're the one and only YouTube video-based movement on the planet. We have over 760 videos on our website. And we have videos from over 66 celebrities that did Genius is Coming videos. Actor Malik Yoba, Nikki Giovanni, The Last Post, the late Tommy Ford from The Martin Lawrence Show, Bernadette Stanis, a.k.a. Thelma from Good Times, actor Doreen Wilson, comedian Rodney Perry, you know, Antonio Fargas, actor Bill Duke and producer Bill Duke. I mean, you name it. You know, we have over 66 celebrities that actually did Genius is Coming videos. Our press went out to, our press release went out to the international press 4.5 months ago, and we soft launched out of New York. This movement is about to break mainstream any day now, any month or hour now, like Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movements, respectively. Right. We also have a Genius System video from Tarana Burke, who is the founder of the Me Too movement. We have her video as well. And we have 36 classic vintage rappers that did Genius is Coming videos. Curtis Blow, Grandmaster Melly Mel, Dude Or Kelly from Lords of the Underground, Claude Patrice Clay from the X-Clan. You get the point.
Right.
And so the Genius is Coming movement is the first movement to let the world know that they've been lied to in relationship to the word genius. So when they say you're only a genius, good, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted you to break that down. What do you mean we've been lied to about the word?
Yeah, we've been lied to in the sense that, because we've been lied to because when they say you're only a genius if you have 130, 140 IQ and Mensa, that's pure poppycock to use the old English. That was an arbitrary number made up at Stanford University to make you 1% of the population, which is rooted in elitism. What they don't want you to know is that the true origin of the word genius doesn't just apply to intellect. As you alluded to earlier, even Einstein said, we're all geniuses. And if you were to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you would spend its whole life believing that is stupid. The philosopher Buckminster Fuller said that every child is born a genius, but the process of life degeniuses them. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer said that talent hits a target that no one else can hit, but genius is a target that no one else can see. So we're the first movement of the world know that the true origin of the word genius comes from the word genie out of Northern Africa, not ancient Rome. And the genie is the guiding tutelary spirit within a person. So the genius in us is the genie in us, and the genie in us is the God in us we've been lied to. Look at the word genie in Genesis. Genesis is the beginning. God is the Alpha and the Omega. Look at the word genie in your genes, right? So the cat is out the bag and the jig is up. We're the first movement to take the elitism out of the word genius. Thus, we are an anti-elitist movement. And Z, I don't proselytize. I just tell people we all have a genius seed. Some call it God, which I do. Some call it source energy for the Esther Hicks Law of Attraction type form. So I would implore your audience to go to www.geniusiscommon.com or geniusiscommon.me and check out the website.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm like really, I'm really excited about Genius is Common because, you know, when you look at evolution, when you look at the scientific foundation of the institutional racism that we know today, which basically came together through the book On Origins of Species by Charles Darwin. A lot of people don't know that the full title of that book is Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. A lot of people know that Planned Parenthood used to be called the American Birth League, Birth Control League, which was founded by Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger, a notorious
racist. And I think it's powerful because, you know, through this book On Origin of Species, which all of our kids, especially if they're in public schools, this book is rammed down their throat as gospel, as truth. When all this book does is denigrate and subjugate the genius within them.
Of course,
from an alleged scientific perspective. And then to hear you talk about genius, the word and its origins is from Africa. This is something
that
listeners really need to understand, that the true origin, the true meaning of genius is Black girl magic, Black excellence. It comes from our culture. And I'm so tired. I'm so tired, and this is Black History Month, and you know, t- to end Black History Month with this episode is really apropos because, you know, I'm so tired of our accomplishments as Black people, as Black Americans being whitewashed from the walls mm-hmm. in Egypt to the very economic system
to Jesus.
Of America. To Jesus. I mean, how in the hell is a white man going to hide in a Black country and not be found?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How in the mm-hmm. hell? It just
exactly.
cannot happen.
Exactly.
Jesus was
exactly.
a man of color. Melanated.
Exactly. Exactly. What is it? Skin of bronze and hair of lamb's wool. I mean,
that's in the first chapter of Revelation.
Michelangelo. Michelangelo was
so tired of the lies. And, you know, on the
this is crazy.
I try not to get political, but, you know,
everything is political.
Everything is political. It really is. And I think, you know, Genius is Common is a really powerful movement. I fully support it. I'm fully active in it. And I really want my listeners to get active. I want you to go to Genius is Common. And follow me on Instagram at Lady Z. I'll be posting about it because I don't want my son, my daughter, my community, I don't want our children to grow up hating themselves because of a lie of what is supposed mm-hmm. to be smart. These are lies.
Exactly.
All because you may be able to calculate 2 + 2 more effectively than someone else doesn't mean that their humanity is less than that person. There
exactly.
is no person that's greater than another person. We are all human beings. This lie and not giving credit where credit's due, I hate that. I abhor it. And so
I can't stand it either. That's why we have to read and study our history. That's
right.
why the Genius is Coming movement, we have a Black Inventor page.
Right.
We have what is called Genius Black Inventors. I mean, the smartphone and the iPhone was what Dr. Donna Augustus.
Right.
Dr. Donna Augustus was the iPhone.
Right.
You know, the treadmill, right? I mean, even the treadmill, Black brother, Dr. George Colley, the treadmill.
Right.
You know, the microprocessor, Dr. Mark Dean.
Right.
Right? The global positioning system, GPS.
Right.
I'm looking up a name right now, Dr. Gladys West, a Black woman.
The traffic light.
The Gary remote, Gary Morgan. And then the programming remote control. Dr. Joseph Jackson, the Black man. The remote control. The real McCoy. Right? The
right.
automobile, the automatic lubricating system and more. The real McCoy, Dr. Elijah McCoy.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So, I mean, and the list goes on and on and on to the break of dawn, as they used to say.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
chemotherapy, Lewis Wright, Dr. Jane and Lewis Wright. Chemotherapy. So,
right.
you know, Black history is world history. So we don't need no month, which is nonsense. They didn't even want to give us that.
I love that. Black history is indeed world history.
So the Genius is Common movement is about tearing down the Berlin Wall of the word genius and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. So
right.
you take a young lady from a housing project that Michael Brace Hale, like Picasso painted, that's a genius. Dave Chappelle is a genius of a comedian. Bishop T.D. Jakes is a genius of a bishop. So
right.
every last one of us has a genius seed in us.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's what
Absolutely.
This movement is about. We're about taking the elitism out of the word genius. Thus, we are an anti-elitist movement.
And you know what? I have to say that resonates with me so much. And
wow. Appreciate
because the anti-elitist, because I don't know how many people know this right now, but the head of the chemistry department at Harvard is just been arrested by the Department of Justice in the United States for
wow.
his hand in this whole coronavirus debacle.
Wow.
Read about this, but you know, as an MIT alum, which is an elite school, one thing that I experienced going through MIT is the effort to
mm-hmm.
be more egalitarian with knowledge. And I see
mm-hmm.
universities like USC, they just announced that if your family makes less than $80,000 a year, your tuition is free if you're admitted. And so there's this movement to recognize true genius. MIT's financial aid policy has been generous over the years as well on those basis. And
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, as a MIT alumni as a Black woman, as a Black American woman, as a descendant of slaves, I definitely think that the institutional racism that has been baked into the word genius needs to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect move to do that. And
I appreciate I really appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that a lot of people, though, they have to really stop being concerned with consequences. Garvey said it best, men in earnest don't concern themselves with consequences.
Right.
Right? It's about you believing in what you're doing. And when you believe in what you're doing, then you don't worry about the consequences. Perish the thought if our ancestors were worried about if I pick it, you know, I'm going to lose my job or I'm going to lose my life or whatever, whatever, whatever. I do this, right. I'm going to lose my life. Nah, it's not about that. It's about you being able to just man up or woman up and
being fearless.
It's all about passing that mantle down to our youth. It's about passing the mantle down to them. You know, that was so passed down to us, we need to pass it down to them. You know, and so with that said, you know, the Genius Economy movement is all about just really just paradigm shifting the way people think and feel of themselves in relationship to the word genius.
Right.
So on our website, we have a bookstore on our website. We have an events page. We have a partners page. You know, we have just all these amazing pages where people can take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a page where they can just post their Genius Economy videos, at which point they need to reach out to you, Z. So have your audience reach out to you. They want to learn more about the Genius Economy movement. Yeah, they can go to the website, but they need to really reach out to you where you can definitely, you know, have them come my way and they'll have an opportunity to speak with me directly by way of you.
Right. So if you guys want to learn more about Genius Economy, please text me at area code 617-475-0964. Please text me at 617-475-0964. Just come straight to me personally on my cell phone. I'll be glad to connect you with the fabulous Bruce George, co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam. Now, before we leave, can you give us one more poem? One more poem? Can you give us one more spoken word? Please.
Now, the poems, you know what it is? I really like not retired from the poetry thing. Uh-huh. But I'm gonna give you like a little bit. I'll give you
a little taste.
Okay, it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without proper content to bless you. But I'm still the barber of the Ville, still slugging like a Louisville, still above the limerick, verbally wit splitting misfits, posing as wordsmiths. I'm still the czar who raised the bar over shallow reservoirs, who talks about Mars with low radars but couldn't reach a star if they were kissing cousins to a quasar. Couldn't hit a note if they were Julio Iglesias. For I'm still a no-limit soldier / wordsmith and sculptor, pen mightier than the Glock in your holster. You know what I mean? And then it goes on and on and on and on. That's called spoken rap.
Wow. You know,
from the Bronx. I was a rap artist when it first got started. They used to call me Curious George. So I was Curious MC.
Uh-huh.
So I was an MC when hip hop first started. So, you know, for their scripted formats, brings about tits for tats, stats and gats, mugshots and photomats at upstate habitats for their prison industrially complex, uses Texas Instruments. And then it goes on and on and on. So I'm just giving you like some bars from different, spoken word pieces, because I'm a word engineer and a word smith, as I had stated, in terms of the different things that I do. You know, psychology, philosophy, classic literature, neurolinguistic programming, metaphysics, body language, and law of attraction. I specialize in power. I'm a wordsmith, word engineer, and a master quotologist.
Mm-hmm.
So I study every single day. I don't have a library. I have a truthberry,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't do fluff. 33 Shades of Grey is fireplace fodder. I don't do that.
Mm.
That's just for the fireplace.
I wish I had more time to talk to
you.
We're
going
to have to do a part two.
I would love to do a part two.
Part two about the Genius is Common movement and just poetry and the entertainment business and all of that. I'm sure my listeners would love
it. Good. How to be an entrepreneur, how to create a movement, all of that. Yeah, we can go into all of that.
Yeah, so that would be awesome. And we'll definitely set it up on that. But I want to
thank you very much. Thank you very much for definitely having me on your fine podcast. I want to thank the listeners for listening in, you know, and like Garvey said, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. Don't put no limits on yourself. Don't put no limits on yourself. The only limits you have are the ones you put on yourself.
Now, you know, are a master quotologist, because Marcus Garvey is my hero. Like, he's like the baddest entrepreneur. Like, for him to have published his newspaper on several continents in the age of no internet, mm-hmm. that man was definitely a genius.
he was definitely a genius, you know. Absolutely. And you know, and he was a nationalist, and he was all about, you know, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will.
Right.
You know, he was all about celebrating Mother Africa, mm-hmm. and he was the one that came with the Back to Africa movement. And the government came down on him because they wanted to just disenfranchise him. They wanted to discredit him, you know, and
they wanted to dismantle. They wanted to dismantle his movement.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
yeah.
know this, but J. Edgar Hoover, he was mm-hmm. an attorney at the time. This was before COINTELPRO mm-hmm. came into being.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one who set Marcus Garvey up and all the things that transpired with the ship line, the cruise ship line
mm-hmm.
developing. And so, you know, I think, you know, Marcus Garvey, I have so much respect and study his life and his speeches and everything, because they're so inspirational and there's a lot of great nuggets of inspiration in them. And so mm-hmm. thank you again for
now,
that great quote.
Thank you again. I cannot thank you enough. And let me say this to you. What they do in terms of how they discredit people is the mm-hmm. four D's. And I'm going to leave you with this. First, they dismiss you. Then they discredit you. Then they demonize you. Then they destroy you. So I just wanted your audience to listen to that. You know, it's the four D's. Dismiss, discredit, demonize, and then destroy you.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you for your time. This was really, really dope. I appreciate you, you know, extending the shelf life of the Geniuses Common Movement by way of your platform, your podcast. And again, I want to thank your listeners for listening in. I want to thank you for hosting me and having me.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you, too. And until next time.
Day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.